Anyone of you out there feeling alone or lonely? Loneliness is an issue many are talking to me about at this time. Do you know that 1 in 4 people in this country now live alone? And many of those do so by choice. But chosen solitude and seclusion are different than loneliness. You can feel lonely in a crowd, and you can live alone without being lonely. Until now, of course, many have been living alone with the knowledge that they can go out at any time, visit friends and family, and go to restaurants, movies, theme parks, sporting events, concerts, and museums. And they've not been in true isolation. They could always compete if they choose. Times have changed. For introverts, it's perhaps not the worst thing, but for those who like company, extroverts who crave touch and interaction and connect with other humans, it can be painful and simply lonely right now. And for those who've undergone any kind of loss, it's particularly hard right now. When you long for human contact and you just can't get it, it's normal to be irritated, angry, sad, or even depressed, especially when this goes on day after day without a clear end. In fact, loneliness was a major problem in America before safer at home became our new way of living. And though many may feel shame around it or scared of being needy, loneliness is a common, often unrecognized part of life for many. It's the source of much of our depression, of our addictions, and anxiety. And it's unfortunately also a big health concern. Medical research is now showing that it's linked to such killers as disease, strokes, and Alzheimer's. And it can actually be as bad for your health as obesity, or not to add another worry to your list. In fact, in the UK a few years ago, they launched a new government department called the Ministry of Loneliness, specifically to deal with the epidemic of loneliness facing millions of people. Doctors are encouraged to identify and refer at-risk patients to treatments devised by the special government ministry to help address loneliness. And most of the solutions involve gathering in groups, getting people connected, and helping them find meaning and purpose. In fact, it's many of the same things we do right here at Chalice. Today, I thought we'd hear from someone in our community who is gregarious, but living alone, to find out how he's dealing with loneliness. And then I'll come back and share some of my spiritual perspective on this problem. Derek?
Loneliness. We all seem destined to experience this for now and perhaps a long time to come. For me, this is particularly painful. The old cliche, I'm a people person, is quintessentially me. It could be my epitaph. My family was always touchy-feely. We hug, we kiss. Men too, we're not squeamish. My mother once remarked on this. She said, yes, we're just a bunch of mush pots. We cry at movies, weddings, sometimes just when seeing each other after a long absence. It's an important reason why this church first called to me. I was living alone, and suddenly there were all these kind, thoughtful, loving people I could claim as my own dear extended family to meet each week and warmly embrace. And then, almost in a flash, it was gone. Exercise distance, no handshakes, no hugging, kissing. Oh. Stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask. A mask. So the other person can't even see that you're smiling just to be with them. This is depressing. But what to do? Sit home, read a book? Okay, I guess. Watch news on TV? Oh, there's a cure. To hear some tell it, we're in this for perhaps years to come. And now, groups of people protest distancing by meeting in large groups, shouting incendiary slogans, carrying signs and flags, inciting conflict, and sometimes even brandishing guns. Guns? You cannot shoot a virus. Last week, an awful thought crossed my mind that maybe, as a species, maybe we're just too dumb to survive this minuscule little enemy. I know in my heart that this is wrong. This feeling of hopelessness, that all is doomed. It's wrong because it robs me of motivation to work at making things better. And it's wrong simply because it's factually incorrect. If there's one thing you can say about Homo sapiens, it's that we are survivors. 12,000 years ago, after literally millennia of frozen suffering, we emerged from our caves wearing only animal skins. And they weren't minks by Oscar de la Renta. And there are ways to cope. My beloved church family meets by Zoom online. We're doing it right now. My biological family has taken the same route. We connect each Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I call friends more than I used to and should have. I read. I keep up with current events and try not to let the news get me down. If I could, I would dress in full PPE and I'd go out to volunteer, but I'm among the most vulnerable. So instead, I stay home and make face masks for friends. Despite the very real challenges we face, there is actual good news. Millions of doctors and nurses, caregivers, food workers, people of all walks are striving despite their own discouragement, fear, and despair to carry on and give life to others. Neighbors go food shopping for elderly neighbors. Friends call friends just to check in and say hi. What they're really saying is, I love you and I'm here for you. I still get discouraged and sometimes think the worst. We all do. But I refuse to give up. I refuse. Don't you. Don't. We will get through this as we always have. And someday, we'll all put our arms around each other and say, thank God I still have you. Blessed be.
Call me when you need a friend. Call me.
Thank you so much, Derek, for your sharing and your insight. Loneliness is something I too know well. I've wrestled with it often in life. For whatever reason, I've always had a sense of being profoundly alone in this world. And I'm not sure exactly what that's about, but I remember vividly only one poem that I wrote during middle school. It was this haiku I've never forgotten. Alone without love or care, blank dismal faces stare, whitewashed loneliness. Wow, what a happy, carefree child I was, huh? But that's how I often felt growing up. As many of you have shared your struggles with loneliness with me, my heart has swelled with empathy and understanding. It's hard. I get it. And though we may gain comfort from being in community or families and having friends, healing loneliness is often not as simple as that. Loneliness is actually a symptom of a deeper issue. And from a spiritual perspective, feeling alone or separate is our original wound. We begin our lives deeply connected to another human being, growing within our mother's womb. We're tied to her bloodstream and her food supply. We're bathed in a safe cocoon as we evolve, surrounded by her heartbeat for 9 months. And then we emerge from that cocoon of connection, that complete dependence on and bond with another being. And we emerge often into cold hospital rooms and are snatched from our mothers, our lifeline. And we're prodded and we're pricked and tested and bright lights are shone onto us. And we enter into a world that is often cold and clinical, in which minds are valued more than hearts, power, money, and efficiency more respected than empathy and interconnection. A world in which our caregivers themselves are often struggling with their own disconnection and isolation. When I taught parenting classes 15 years ago, I taught a methodology called connection parenting, the kind of parenting that focuses on maintaining and deepening the bond between an infant and their parents to help ease their way into this world and to lessen the intensity of separation. The kind of parenting where you don't let your babies cry it out, where you try to intuit and stay deeply connected to the needs of your child. It takes a lot more attention, time, and energy, and it's often difficult with our frantic, demanding culture. But you know that in some indigenous cultures in which they're more closely tied to the earth and what's natural, they literally do not put the baby down for a year after birth. The infant stays attached to the mother in a sling or pack wherever she goes. So the sting of separation happens gradually and gently over time. But few of us in the US have the privilege of being able to practice this kind of parenting with our demanding lives. And few of us grow up in an environment where we felt so deeply connected, seen, and attached to our mother from birth on. In fact, that simply wasn't the mainstream thought in the late 20th century. And I think that shows in our society now. That shows in our desperate search for other things to attach to. Our contemporary industrialized society doesn't value attachment and connection. It values doing, efficiency, and achievement. It values power and independence over connectedness and interdependence. It values possessions over attachment, consumerism over relationship. And therein lies the problem, I think. Loneliness is a disease of disconnection. Disconnection from our inner selves, disconnection from the earth, disconnection from each other, disconnection from our source of life, disconnection from our oneness with all that is. It's a disease marking our original break from source, whether that source is our mother, our family, our friends, our community, or our sense of oneness with the universe or the divine. So most of us grow up seeking all kinds of substitutes for that feeling of profound connection. We look for it in other people, but rarely are others able to love us as completely as we need. We look for it by shopping, and we imagine we'll finally feel happy when we have the latest thing that our minds long for. We look to avoid the ache by throwing ourselves deeply into our work. If only we stay busy and achieve, we might feel that we're enough. And we try to fill the void by escaping into Netflix, alcohol, food, or drugs. We run from the emptiness into the arms of a meaningless fling or an overly lavish vacation. We seek to distract or numb through gaming, smartphone apps, and social media. We can't be lonely, surely, if we get 10 likes on our latest Facebook page post, right? Now, I'm not shaming these things. I'm only acknowledging that we all seek ways to alleviate our existential angst, our original wound. We're looking for something to fill that emptiness, to complete us, even temporarily. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I do some of those temporary filler type of things, I end up feeling hollow. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us know that, don't we? We know in the quiet of our minds that ultimately no amount of social gathering, possessions, activities, or even relationships will heal that original wound within. Nothing external can truly cure the emptiness inside, that sense of disconnection, our original wound of separation from life itself. Except, my friends, reconnecting with life itself. And that is one of the things we're learning in this time. As most of what we escape to falls by the wayside, we're forced to go within and be with ourselves, as well as the gifts of nature. Now, I know it can be mildly annoying to hear someone talk about the gifts of a difficult situation, so I say this gently. But this being forced to quiet down and go within and sit face to face with the void is actually one of the gifts we're being given during this time out of time, these days in which many of our outside pleasures, demands, and activities have been curtailed. So what do we find when we gape boldly into the chasm? Is there anything there? How do we uncover that sense of connection within? How do we overcome loneliness without a drink or a diversion or a distraction? How do we feel whole, whether in a relationship or not? Whether living alone or not? It's a question most of psychology and spirituality tries to resolve. And actually, only in the last year or two can I truly say I've begun to get closer to an answer. And I've been trying for a while. And it's not based on external circumstances. I found it in an internal shift. Lao Tzu says in the Tao Te Ching, if you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. Ordinary men hate solitude, but the master makes use of it, embracing his aloneness, realizing he is one with the whole universe. As I've deepened my connection within and by extension with the whole universe, through mindfulness meditation, journaling, prayer, and being in nature, I've gradually begun to heal and make peace with that emptiness inside. Through essentially reparenting myself with compassion and self-acceptance, I've become aware of my interconnection with all there is and of a deeper well. I've learned to listen and reconnect my lonely, empty inner child with my own strong, resilient, comforting, and loving inner parent. And I found that both are within me. And I needed to teach my disconnected, lonely self that I actually can take care of her, that I'm here for her, that she's not alone. She need not look outside of herself for affirmation or comfort, and that she needs regular reminders that all is within. The poetry of Rumi is so comforting for this. He said, "There is nothing outside of yourself. Look within. Everything you want is there." Now, I don't want to make light of this. This is not a quick fix. In my case, it requires daily committed mindfulness and self-compassion practices, almost like a 12-step loneliness program. As Buddhism reminds us, pain and suffering are simply a part of life. Loneliness and struggle are here to teach us deeper truths if we're willing to find them. And that takes wisdom practices. I'm grateful that as my longing for answers from the outside have lessened, I found myself more contented and at peace with life and who I am. Now, I certainly have not mastered it by any means, but I'm evolving gradually. And I wish that for any of you struggling with this too. Keith Lamar, who has spent 27 years in solitary confinement, recently shared about this quarantine that the world is under, and I share his words with you now. Being in solitary confinement is really just being thrown upon yourself. You're confronted with yourself. It's like being thrown into the ocean. You have to learn how to swim. You have to learn how to deal with yourself. When you're thrown upon yourself, you realize you are more equipped than you realized. A lot of the system keeps us from realizing our own power. It's a good opportunity for people to tap into that. And hopefully young people being forced to stay at home outside of the mainstream curriculum are able to get a glimpse of themselves and start pulling on that thread. He writes, "There are many ways to heal loneliness, my friends, from serving others, to finding your true purpose in life and practicing compassion. We have all the answers we need within if we make space to listen. And like Derek's sharing earlier, each one of you has more wisdom within than you might imagine at this time. Whether you seek to uncover answers to this original wound of disconnection or not, it's a perfect moment to use this time out from the treadmill of life for spiritual growth and learning. I invite you to look into that chasm of loneliness and explore these questions for yourself. But look with tender, loving kindness for your sense of purpose, your key to wholeness, and your connection within. I'm really curious what you'll find. Please drop me an email or call me. I'm here to walk with you. I'm here to listen, to celebrate, and to mourn with you. Call me when you need a friend. Lean on me. And don't forget to lean on each other. Lean on this community. We're here for each other. As Bill Withers said in that marvelous song Michael sang earlier, ain't no shame in needing, no shame in needing love. We all need somebody to lean on. May it be so.